This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Is anybody excited to be in the house of God this morning? Some of you don't look very excited. I don't know what you think you came to do at Wolfbeck 2024. Hallelujah. Let me hear somebody shout. Shout unto the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's an exciting, always exciting to be at formerly Wolfbeck, now Wolfbeck. I don't know what the name will change again, though. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, I was just listening to Pastor Kwaju's message even before I came out. And it just occurred to me that, every time I have listened to you speak, right, I have learned something new every time. It's amazing. And it doesn't look like that when you start speaking. But somehow, you are loaded. That's what I'm going to say. You are loaded. Yeah. Not just by, you have precept, but you have, you have experience. And that makes it so rich when you speak. Honestly, I want to really appreciate that. That's a gift to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands well and appreciate Pastor Kwaju. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he has, he made the right choice. Amen. I don't want any bad belly around here. If you want to clap, clap well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He married the right person. Amen. Just right for him. Yes. I think she has a special grace to understand him. She understands him, I can tell. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands, please, for First Lady. The First Lady of Covenant Nation. Come on. If you're clapping, clap well. Glory to Jesus. I want to appreciate you guys, and I want to appreciate you for the honor. I don't take it for granted to come here and minister. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Before you sit down, I want you just to celebrate my wife, my wife, my wife. Hallelujah. My wife of 29 years. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She's a good wife. I was telling them in church that I've had 29 years to make an assessment. And I can tell you that she has passed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's lift our hands to God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what we have heard already, how you have started. We open our hearts, even, O God, from glory to glory. We receive by faith all that you have for us this conference. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Which means to experience the power of the gospel, you have to believe. Amen.
Quickly, please, let's appreciate all the ministers in the house, all the pastors in the house. Thank you so much for being here. Glory to God. It is the power of God, please put it on screen, yes, power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So there's something about believing that connects us to God's power. Go ahead, please, the scripture. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, next verse. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Actually, what it says in the original, where he's quoting from, it says the just shall live by his own faith. You cannot live by second-hand faith. You cannot live by somebody's faith. You can learn from them, but you have to have a personal conviction. Say amen, somebody. Go back to the scripture, please. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So something is revealed when we hear the true gospel. Something is revealed. What is revealed? The righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? I'll just, you know, make it simple. It's what is right according to God's standard. Hallelujah. There's something that is right according to God's standard. It is revealed in the gospel. Some things are wrong and some things are right. Who determines right? Help me, somebody. Who determines right? God. If it's not right by God, it's not right. So when you hear the gospel, you're not going to hear that which is wrong. You're going to hear that which is right. Say amen. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things are wrong. Amen. How many of you know it's wrong for a man to marry a man? You don't sound like you are convinced. Hallelujah. Say amen, oh. How many of you know sickness is wrong? If it was right, you would have a hospital somewhere in heaven. Or you have at least somewhere in heaven where people are sick. You know, this teaching about, sickness, God gave me sickness to humble me. We have to be careful how we approach that kind of teaching. Hallelujah. Because if God gave you sickness to humble you, then why did you collaborate with a doctor to remove what God gave you to humble you? Hello, somebody. If God gave you the headache to teach you humility, then please don't buy Panadol because you are going against the will of God. Say amen. If God is giving you sickness to teach you more teachings on character, then what you should pray for, Lord, give me more because I need more character. Say amen. How many of you know poverty is wrong? Now, some people have to pass through a phase to get somewhere. But that phase is not the perfect will of God. It's like a wilderness. They had to leave Egypt and get into the wilderness and then get into the promised land, right? But the wilderness was a passage. It wasn't the promise. Say amen, somebody. If poverty was right, then you at least have a ghetto somewhere in heaven. Am I correct? And when you get to heaven, they'll take you around, show you the wealthy areas, and then show you the ghetto areas. Amen. Thy will be done where? On earth, as it is where? In heaven. So if it's not right in heaven, it's not right on earth. Say amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Then there's this thing about our lives. The perfect will of God for us, each person. And I picked on that when Pastor Boji was speaking. Each person has a unique assignment. Your assignment is right for you. Say amen. Amen. No two people have identical assignments. You can have two people called in the same category, but it's never identical. Because even when God recreated each of us, he did so and programmed an assignment in each person. So there's a uniqueness when it comes to God's perfect will. And so you have to find the perfect will of God for you to live right. If you're not in the perfect will of God, and like Pastor Paju said, maybe you saw somebody else doing something and just decided to do what the person is doing, then you're not living right. You see, the gospel is light. And when the light is on, you start to see God's righteousness. You start to appreciate God's standard. Hallelujah. So that when you are believing God for something, you are believing God for something which is right. Not something which is what somebody else is doing, but something which is right for you. Say amen. Amen. Say, I believe God for that which is right for me. It's like husband and wife, looking for husband. You can't just see some guy that you like because he's tall, dark, handsome, and has a long jeep. And then you claim him. You can't claim him if it's not for you. Say amen. Amen. Doesn't matter how many confessions you make or prophetic declarations. If it's not yours, if he's not yours, he's not yours. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to, in other words, for us to really live the life of faith, it means we have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit, because it leads us according to that which is right. Say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, what I've noticed is throughout the scriptures, there's this matter of faith. God is big on faith. God is huge on faith. You find, you know, for instance, you find that it was because Abraham believed God that righteousness was put to his credit, because he believed God. You find that the reason why the children of Israel could not enter the promised land, the first batch, was because of their unbelief. And the scriptures in Hebrews calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Because there are two kinds of unbelief. There's unbelief that comes out of ignorance. You didn't have enough information. Then there's unbelief because of hardness of the heart. You have heard, but you have not made the decision to believe what you have heard. And it causes an evil heart of unbelief. And because of that, they couldn't enter the promised land. And it affects your behavior. People who are in this state of unbelief, they complain a lot. They're always complaining. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. How many of you know that even you're not even allowed to be complaining about Nigeria? I have only 10% of you. That means 90% are complainers. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to complain. We're supposed to speak the right words over our nation. And if we speak the right words as the church, God will use our words and begin to change the nation. We cannot depend on someone, right? Anybody to fix a nation. It is a church that God looks to when God wants to exalt a nation. Amen. So we have to learn how to become people of faith, even when it comes to our nation. Glory to God. Now, before I go on, there are certain things the Lord spoke to me this morning as I was praying. And I just felt I should let you know so that you can latch your faith onto it. As I was praying, the Lord said to me that there's some chronic situations that will come to an end within the first quarter of 2024. Yeah. Chronic. It's been around for some time. It might be a form of sickness, or it might be just a problem that has persisted. And the Lord says, if you can just believe and you can just release yourself to the Holy Ghost before the end of this first quarter, you won't find it again. Say amen. Amen. The second thing I said was, there's coming strategic alignments for destiny fulfillment. Strategic alignments for destiny fulfillment. And it's going to start this week. I wish I had a louder amen. These alignments will include people and opportunities. Hallelujah. Sometimes some of you will come out, it will come like a shock out of nowhere. Somebody will call you. Say amen. Amen. Somebody will send you an email. Amen. Hallelujah. Then I heard this, the Lord says, pain, P-A-I-N, is being dealt with. There's some people have cried out to God because of pain. Physical pain and emotional pain. And the Lord says it's being dealt with. Before the end of this conference, if you can believe, you will notice the pain has gone. I wish I had a strong amen. If you've never experienced pain, you won't understand what I'm talking about. Pain can be a major distraction. Hallelujah. And physical pain, yes, but sometimes emotional pain. And the Holy Spirit can go deep inside and fix that pain supernaturally. Say amen. Amen. Then I heard this financial offer. I don't know who you are, but it's not just one person, right? But this offer is going to come before the end of this month. And it's going to be an incredible offer. Say amen. Amen. And you will have a witness in your spirit. A strong witness. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to come before the end of January. Say amen. Amen. You know, the good thing about God is even when God is releasing such words to some people in particular, God is so magnanimous that somebody else can just be looking at it and collect his own. Say amen. So if I was you, I'd just collect mine. Glory to Jesus. Then I heard this relief from unseen forces of stagnation. Hallelujah. They're going to be uprooted and removed by angels. Glory to God. And then the result will be unusual progress, unusual speed within the first 2 months of this year. January and February, you will notice an unusual speed. Glory to Jesus Christ. Say amen. And then I heard this. The Lord said, we're to change a death sentence. Yeah. So we're going to speak life. And we're going to change that death sentence. It's a death sentence, but we cancel it. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and do that now. I want you to speak life. In the name of Jesus, we pronounce life. Where there was a death sentence, we pronounce life. We pronounce life. We cancel the death sentence and we pronounce life. Let me hear you shout 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 life. One more time, shout life. No death. No death. No death. No death. No death. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and thank him. Lift your hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We thank you for life. 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 Somebody's receiving life. Somebody's receiving life. Somebody's receiving life. Somebody's receiving life in your mind, in your body. Somebody's receiving life in your organ. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life in your family. Receive life with your children. Receive life. Receive life. Where there was death, we replace it with life. We replace death with life. 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 Be quickened, be quickened, be quickened by the life of God. Be quickened by the life of God. Be quickened by the life of God. Be quickened, be quickened, be quickened. Hallelujah. Lay your hand on your head. I command your entire body to be quickened by the life of God. I command every cell in your body, every tissue, every organ, every bone, every muscle. I command all the fluids of your body, be quickened, be quickened, be quickened, be quickened. I cast away every affliction. I cast away every affliction. I cast away every affliction. In the name of Jesus, I terminate every satanic assignment. I terminate every satanic assignment. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Glory to Jesus. Tell three people congratulations. Happy New Year. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So this faith issue is not new. It's just that God expects us now to take it to the next dimension. And I'll explain. Us who are born again, born of the Spirit, are expected to raise the standard when it comes to our faith life. But it's not new. I mean, if you read through the scriptures, read between the lines, you'll find the story of the Bible is not just a story of grace, it's a story of faith. Actually, faith puts a lot of responsibility on us. And sometimes people just want it to be like God is responsible for everything. And that's a problem. Because God wants you to participate in your success. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So faith means that I have a responsibility. You see, grace is God's responsibility. But faith is mine. Now, he will help me. He will help me. But I still have to make decisions of faith. Glory to God. That's why it says, walk by faith. We walk by faith. He gives us grace, but we do the walking. We have to walk by faith. So it's your responsibility to walk by faith. I'll give an example. If you go to Daniel chapter 6, we know the story of Daniel, how Daniel was put in a lion's den, right? And then the lions, for some reason, the lions did not eat him. And I'm going to prove to you, the lions were hungry. So it wasn't as if lions were well fed. The lions were very hungry. And the lions did not eat him. Right? Somebody said, well, that's grace. Well, grace, yes. But how do we access grace? By faith. By faith, we access this grace in which we stand. Watch this. All right. So, Nebuchadnezzar, right? Was it Nebuchadnezzar that put him in a den? Huh? Darius, okay. So Darius shows up because Darius didn't want him to die. Darius actually liked him, all right? So in the morning, Darius even fasted overnight for Daniel. In the morning, he ran. Look at Daniel 6 and 22. Daniel 6, 22. Glory to Jesus. Watch this. It says, so he asked Daniel, are you still alive? All right. Look at what Daniel says. He says, my God sent his angel, right, and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. All right. Now watch this. Go to the next line. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because what? He believed. It was his faith that enabled the grace to work for him. The grace of God held the lion's mouth. The lions could not eat him up, but it was his faith. In other words, while he was in a den, he believed God. He believed God. Hallelujah. Now, see what happened the next line. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them. Watch this. Broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Why? The lions were hungry. They were very hungry. So it wasn't that they were not hungry when Daniel came. They were hungry, but they couldn't open their mouth because Daniel believed. Your faith will see you through. Amen. I say your faith will see you through. Amen. It will see you through the lion's den. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so those guys came down. What was the difference? They didn't believe. There was a distinction at the line of faith. God does not discriminate based on tribe or age or color. God discriminates based on faith. Did you hear what I said? Glory to Jesus. Now, like I said, in our case, because we are born of God, God expects more from us than what was done in the Old Testament before Jesus came. And I'll tell you why. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. How many of you believe that Jesus is a Christ? Let me see your hands. That means you're what? Born of God. Now look at verse 4, the same chapter, verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So he's letting us know that we are born of God, but not just that. Our faith is born of God. Say amen, somebody. Yes. Your faith is born of God, which means as a believer, you have a nature, a faith nature that's the same as God. You have the God faith nature on the inside of you. Amen. You have a nature of faith that is divine because you're born of God. We have this nature. You know, the nature of God is righteousness, it's light, life. You know, it's love, but it's also faith. And we have that faith in our spirit man. We have the faith of God. So there's a difference. So God actually expects more from us. To whom more is given, more is expected. God expects more from us than even those men of faith who lived before Jesus came. Because we now have access to God's own faith. That's why when you enter the epistles, you won't hear any reference anymore to little faith. You won't anymore. Because God's faith is not little faith. God's faith is the nature for what? Great things. Hallelujah. Jesus says, the same works I do, you will do also. And greater works than these. He was speaking about the new dispensation. Greater works based on what? The faith of God on the inside. Now we have the faith of God. Now God expects us to do the impossible. Hallelujah. What am I saying? I'm saying it's time for us to move into the zone of possibilities. Yes. Hallelujah. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. What did the angel tell Mary? With God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. So we're there now. We have no excuse not to be engaged in the impossibilities. What men call impossible is about to become possible in your life. Say amen. Hallelujah. Because we have what it takes. We have the God faith. We have it. I can believe God. Let me tell you what it means to have the God faith. It means we have the ability to believe like God believes. We have the ability to believe at the God class. We have the ability to believe every word spoken by God. We have the ability to believe it. We can believe anything God says because we have his nature on the inside. Say amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing, watch this, and great boldness in the faith, which is where? In Christ. There's a faith in Christ. We have access to faith in Christ because we are born of God. Say amen. Look at Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Fine. Nice. But that's not the exact translation. All right? The translators were being too careful here. Go back there. Give me... Do you have Young's literal translation? You have it? Did they have it? Okay, yeah, they have it. Wonderful. Yeah, look at it. It says, with Christ I have been crucified, and live no more do I. Christ doth live in me, and that which I now live in the flesh, in the faith I live of the Son of God. I live in his faith. Now, give me the original King James. Watch this. Did you bring your dancing shoes? I said, did you bring your dancing shoes? Oh, hallelujah. Show me. Look, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. How come? Because I have the faith of the Son of God. Where? In my spirit. Why? I'm born again. Say amen, no. Say, I have the faith of the Son of God in me because I am born of God. But it makes sense now. Like father, like son or daughter. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Look at Revelation 14 verse 12. Revelation 14 verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Now the saints are those who are sanctified in Christ, all right? Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God, and watch this, and the faith of Jesus. He says, we keep the faith of Jesus. How do we keep the faith of Jesus? When we walk by faith, we're meant to walk by the faith of Jesus. We have his nature. That means you can believe, oh, you can. Maybe you haven't chosen to believe yet. There's nothing that God has said or that God will show you that you cannot believe. Nothing. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, look at this. Jude 1:3. Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, let me have the New King James. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. So we have a common salvation, right? We're all saved the same way, right? You cannot be saved another way. You're saved because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a common salvation, right? Watch this. It says, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. It was delivered to the saints. Which faith? The faith of the Son of God. I have it, you have it. Amen. We're all equalized. Say amen, no. Look at verse 20. We have quoted this a lot, but just look at this, verse 20. That's why I love what Pastor Bojo said about prayer. You cannot separate it. He says, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. In other words, there's a most holy faith, right? We all have it. He referred to it as our common faith, right? We all have it. Go back to the scripture, please. He says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So you have this faith, right? Which is the most holy faith. It has to be the most holy faith. It is the faith of God. Hallelujah. The most holy faith. It says you build on it by prayer. You build on that faith. That faith is a foundation. And then you pray in the Holy Ghost. And then you're building on that faith. That common faith. That was delivered to us when we got saved. Say amen. Amen. Look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, watch this, to those who have obtained what? Like precious faith. Like faith. All of us. What faith is this? The faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Notice it says, who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to verse 5. Verse 5, the same chapter, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Add to your faith what? Virtue. To virtue what? Knowledge. To knowledge what? Self-control. To self-control what? Perseverance. Perseverance what? Godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and so on and so forth. But you add to it, the faith is there. The nature is there. It's a nature. It's a nature. Somebody who is not saved, there are things they will hear, they will struggle. They will call it foolish. But for you, it's not foolish. Why do you think it's not foolish? because of the nature you have received. So when God speaks, it's no longer foolishness. But before that time, it sounded foolish. You have a nature. Say amen. Somebody say, I have a nature. I have a divine nature. Say, I have the nature of God. And in the nature of God is his faith nature. Say it. The faith nature of God, I have it. Glory be to God. This should make you feel confident. Amen. I have a nature that overcomes the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Right? The faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Give me verse 4. To Titus, a true son in our what? Common faith. What faith is this common faith? The faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt or delivered to each one a measure of faith. Now, if God deals to us a measure of faith, where is he getting the faith from? Is it human faith? No. It's his own faith. He has dealt to each one. And now that a measure is not the best translation. Go back there. Go back to that scripture. Just show me. Now take me to the King James, original King James. God has dealt to every man the measure. There's a measure of faith in our spirit. Hallelujah. And it's the God faith. All right? So if everything I've said is true, then what is keeping us from doing the impossible? Why is it we're not hearing more and more stories? Why is it we don't have so many testimonies of believers stepping out and doing amazing exploits and doing what Jesus called greater works? I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, you have to, even though you have the nature of faith, you have to make a decision to believe. Having a nature is one thing. Believing is another thing. Believing is a conscious decision that you make to accept what you have heard as truth. You hear something, you have a choice to make. Will you accept this as a truth, or will you say, will you allow your mind and your reasoning to kick in? And then you start to doubt, well, I don't know, this doesn't quite seem very, very scientific. It may not seem scientific, but don't forget, God is the master scientist. Our science is trying to catch up with God's science. Hallelujah. You have to make up your mind to actually exercise your faith. You have to exercise your faith by, first of all, believing. Somebody say, I must believe. See, believing is a choice. After you have heard, believing becomes a choice. There are things you're going to hear this week. You're going to hear many wonderful things this week, but you have to make a choice based on what you hear to believe it. Amen. Let me show you. Go to Mark 16, verse 9. I hope you're getting something. Mark 16, verse 9. You have to make a decision to believe. And I notice quite a number of believers are not making that decision. God cannot believe for you. God has given you the nature. You must exercise that prerogative to believe. Look at Mark 16, verse 9. When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Next verse. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. Next verse. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Did he not tell them that he would die, and on the third day he'll be raised. Now somebody has seen him and came and told them, I saw him. And they what? Did not believe. They had knowledge. They had heard. But this is hardness of the heart. Amen. Make up your mind that from today you will believe. Oh. Do you hear what I said? Believe the word. Believe what God shows you. Believe it. So you will not be in that place for another 10 years. Amen. Let's go on. Glory to Jesus. Go on. Go back to that scripture. Okay. So after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Next verse. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Look at that. They refused to believe. Next verse. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Watch this. The first thing he did, he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They did not believe. It was a decision. This is why many are not seeing the glories that have come. Hallelujah. They're not believing. You have a nature, but you must exercise that nature and what? Believe. It must be a decision. Say amen. Glory be to God. Look at John. John 20. Well, no, let's go back there. Let's go back there. Let me show you something quickly. Look at the next verse. The next verse. No, you went. Yeah. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is why he said it like this. Look at the next verse. He who what? Believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Look at the next verse. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe. God is about to manifest signs and wonders in your life. But you have to do what? Believe. Believe. It's a choice. Look at John 20 verse 24. John 20 verse 24. Hallelujah. You know, when you can come to church and everybody's excited. There's like a corporate faith. You know, there's a corporate grace. You know, it's when you are on your own and you're facing a crisis. That's when you know the importance of believing for yourself. Hallelujah. You will now realize that all the stories the man of God was telling you, right, were good and were meant to be an example. But if you don't personalize it, you can end up dead. Amen. Because this is now you versus the devil. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. He wasn't. Look at the next verse. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Now, the rest are telling Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Watch this. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not. I swear. And then unbelief makes you wicked. You want to put your hand into his side and be touching his organs. And until I put my hand inside his side, I will not believe. I will not. Pride. It's connected to pride. I will not. God says something. You say, I will not believe. You may not say it outward, but that's what you say on the inside. I will not believe. Until this happens, and this happens, and this happens, I will not believe. That's what it says, you know, you talked about, you know, idolatry, self, decision. God said this, but still, until I see 1, 2, 3, I will not believe. There are no signs. Amen. No miracles. Go ahead. He says, go back to that verse before. He says, I'll put my hand into his side. I will not believe. See, we have to repent of unbelief. If we're going to do the impossible, we have to repent of unbelief. If we're going to move mountains, we have to repent of unbelief. Glory to God. We have to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You said this to me 10 years ago. I did not believe, and I'm still here. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Next verse. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger. Oh, yeah, bring that your hand. Sure, you want to touch my liver. Eh? Bring your hand. He says, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Can you imagine Jesus? Be graphic. He must have opened. Said, oh, yeah. Put your hand. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. He was upset. God doesn't like unbelief. I mean, he came and the first person he addressed was what? Thomas. He left everybody and just focused on Thomas. You now, you said you would touch my hand, Abby. And my hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Put it on scripture. Scripture. Do not be what? Unbelieving. But what? Believing. It's time to believe. Did you hear what I said? Listen, guys, let's keep it simple. Let's not get too complicated. It's time to believe God. Believe the word of God. If you read it in the Bible, believe it. If God speaks it to your spirit, believe it. It may not make sense in the natural, but don't worry, it will make sense eventually. Amen. And when it doesn't make sense like that, and you're not sure what to do, that's where you ask for wisdom. Lord, show me how. That's what happened to Mary. Mary was like, okay, I'm supposed to have a baby. I've not yet had any intercourse, right? So she was like, okay, show me the mechanism. So you're allowed to ask questions, but not, you're not allowed to say, I will not believe. Say amen. So that's the first problem, that decision. The second problem is found in James. James 2. James 2 and 18. This is the second problem. Hallelujah. You see, the first is we have to make a decision to believe. The second is found here. James 2, 18. Give me New King James. You believe that there's one God. You do well. Go back. It says, go back to the beginning. I think it was, what verse did we just read now? Okay, go back to verse 18. Okay, that's fine. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Right? Next verse. Watch this. You believe that there's one God. You do well. Even the demons believe. And not only that, the what? They tremble. All right? So even after you believe, there's still something that you must do to do the works of God. Amen. Go ahead. But do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Dead. I don't care what kind of faith it is, whether it's human faith or God faith. Without works, it is dead. What does that mean? Non-productive. No results. All right? Go ahead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? See, this kind of message, people who have a twisted understanding of grace will struggle with this because they mix up all kinds of works together. You know, there's works of the flesh. There's works of the law, but there's works of faith. We must do the works of faith to see the works of God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? This is not a work of the flesh. Work of faith is not work of the flesh. And it's not a work of the law. It is a work that is based on what you believe. In other words, you did something about what you believed. Go back to the scripture. Was not Abraham a father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Next verse. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. In other words, the works brought his faith to an end result, to a completion. His faith work was not over until he did something about it. Amen. Next verse. Go ahead. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Next verse. You see then that a man is justified by works. Now, which kind of works is this? Works of what? Faith. And not by faith only. Oh, if all you did was believe, and you didn't add works to it, it's not enough to bring an end result. Go ahead. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Next verse. For as the body is dead, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So how dead is faith without works? It's as dead as the body without the spirit. A corpse. I don't know if you've met people who can quote scriptures. And they can quote scriptures, but nothing is happening. No results. It stinks. Hallelujah. That's what a corpse does. It stinks. They will quote and quote and quote and quote and quote, but nothing is happening. Why? Because they're not stepping out on what they believe. So they're in the realm of the spirit, there's a stink. A dead body. It's a corpse. Hallelujah. It's time to do something. I don't know what you wanted me to tell you, but let me tell you again. It's time for you to do something. Tell your neighbor, do something. Hallelujah. But it's not just something. It is something based on what? Faith. And like you heard Pastor Boju teach already, this faith is not just abstract. The Lord speaks things to us. The Rema. Hallelujah. But when you hear that Rema, believe it. Glory to God. And then you must do something. You must step out. And listen, you know, there's always an initial step to take. You may not take that step that you're looking at over there, but there's a step you can take right now. Do something. Hallelujah. Look at what I'm going to do, and I'll do that maybe tonight and tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the actions of faith. There are three main actions of faith that we all have to align ourselves to. Number one is mental. There's a mental action. There's actually a mental action. When you have heard the word of God and you have believed it, you must put your mind to work. There was a time we were told that you should not bring your mind when it concerns your faith work. I have found that it was a wrong teaching, oh. Hallelujah. Because God gave you your mind for a reason. Yes, am I correct? Your mind must become part of your faith equation. And I'll talk about that later. So number one is mental action. Number two is verbal action. And then number three is physical action. That's movement. There must be a movement. So, but it starts where? The mind. You get the mind in alignment with God's word. Then you get your words in alignment with God's word. And then you move. Sometimes people move without mental and verbal alignment. So your movement doesn't last. No endurance. Because as you're moving, there will be opposition. There will be challenges that come when you're moving. And when you come across those challenges, you better have the right mindset. And you better have the right words, ammunition, so that when the devil speaks, you speak back. Hallelujah. Devil says you will not make it. Say, I have made it already. I have made it. Hallelujah. So there must be alignment before you start moving, so that you finish your movement. Glory to Jesus. John 14:12. Works. It's time for works. This is your year of works. Yes. Great works. Great works. Exploits. Say amen. You are going to do the impossible in 2024. What people call impossible, you are going to do it in 2024. And you will do it with ease. You will do it with grace. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, we can't avoid the works. The works that I do, he will do also. And what? Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Greater works than what was possible before his redemptive work. Greater works. Because we now have the faith of God. So we have no excuse. Hallelujah. Just start from somewhere. Amen. Sometimes our plans are too complex. Yeah. And then we go into paralysis. I call it the paralysis of analysis. You analyze and analyze and analyze until you are paralyzed. And you can be like that for 5 years. So you come back to Wolfbeck and hear another word of God and get excited. Then you go home and start to analyze. You see, you must analyze in alignment with the Holy Ghost. God says, come and reason with me. So it's not wrong to analyze, but analyze properly. Analyze according to revelation. Are you getting my point? Or else your analysis can take you away from the word of God. Acts 14, I'll use this to close. Verse 7. Acts 14, verse 7. Hallelujah. Acts 14, verse 7. And they were preaching the gospel there. Now, where is there? It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. As long as they were doing what? Preaching the gospel. That means light is shining. That means God's righteousness is being what? Revealed. That means faith substance is being released. You see, there's faith nature, then there's faith substance. Faith substance is the information that you hear according to God's righteousness. So that's what was happening here, wherever it was. Right now it is here, Wolfbeck. Hallelujah. It's here in Wolfbeck. Glory to God. The gospel light is on now. Throughout this week, the light is bright. The light is bright. You better be attentive. Be attentive. Watch this. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting. A cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This information is important. They're trying to show us the extent of the miracle by showing us the extent of the man's problem. This man has been like this since he was born. You can't just walk. How many of you just got out of your mother's womb and started walking? If it's you, raise your hand. Come on. We need to check you up. Hallelujah. You have to go through milestones. You have to sit with support, sit without support. You have to crawl with support, crawl without support. You have to stand with support. Your muscles were being formed, your nerves, your brain. It took a process. So this man has never walked. He has never gone through the milestones. Never. He doesn't know how to walk in his brain. Doesn't know how to walk. You know, for you to walk, your brain is walking. There's a balancing that comes because of your brain. Hallelujah. Now watch this. In Lystra, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that the man had faith to be healed. Just like Pastor Podu said, you will see it. There's an expression. There's a way your face will change. There's a way the eye will light up. You will know somebody's picked up something. Glory to God. Like many of you, I can see your eyes. You're picking up something. Glory to God. Say amen. Amen. Now watch this. Paul knew the man had faith to be healed, but was still crippled. He was still crippled, but he had faith to be healed. So we must go beyond faith. Something was missing. It wasn't faith. It was something else. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, in this man's case, right, it wasn't even his mental action. Because I can see that the way the man was looking at Paul, his mind is working. there was an action that was necessary for him to connect to that power. Amen. Look at this. That's why Paul had to help him. Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." Paul shouted. Sometimes you have to shout as a preacher, because there are many voices people are contending with. Do you understand my point? So sometimes that's why we shout. That's why you will not die. You will live. Why? Because they're telling you will die. And so we have to sometimes push that voice away. So Paul with a loud voice shouted, "Stand up straight on your feet." What a ridiculous instruction to a man that has never walked in his life. How? Paul knew there's something about this guy. This guy's faith has put him in alignment with God's power. So Paul knew, before this man can analyze too much, let me help him. "Stand up!" he shouted. So you can imagine the man, he didn't have time to analyze too much. So what? Look what happened. I love this guy. They said stand up, he didn't stand up. He went beyond the faith of Paul. Come on, somebody. Am I in the right house here? You see, what Paul saw was different from what the man saw. Paul saw the man standing up, which was a great miracle. But the man saw more than that. What the man saw while Paul was preaching, the man saw himself jumping up and walking. Hallelujah! Shout amen! And as soon as the man added action to his faith, miracle. There's an action you must take. Hallelujah. I was going to do this tonight, but let me do it quickly now. Stand up. If you have any pain in your body, stand up quickly. Just stand up quickly. Any pain. Anywhere you are, you have pain in your body. Stand up. All right. If you have any sickness diagnosed, or you just know about it, there's no pain, but you have some kind of sickness diagnosed, stand up as well. Do you believe? Answer me. Do you believe? Yes. Hallelujah. Now, angels are here now. The angels of God are here. And they're going to walk with all of us. I'm going to give you an instruction. As you do it, the angels will move. Say amen. Amen. If you believe me, you'll do it. Say amen. Oh. Amen. Are you ready? Your pain is about to go forevermore. Your sickness is about to leave your body forevermore. That affliction will leave you and will not come back again. Do you believe what I'm saying? You're going to start 2024 with a fresh lease. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you to jump up 8 times. You're going to jump up. After 8 times, you will shout hallelujah, and you will notice a shift has taken place. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you believe? At the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Shout, shout, shout! 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 Just be silent for 30 seconds. Just be silent. He's walking. He's walking. He's walking. The pain is going. Just be silent. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now lift your hands and thank Him. 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 If you've had a chronic situation, thank him now. Thank him. Thank him that it's over. My time is up. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, please do me a favor. It's good to share your testimonies. If you notice there's no pain in your body, you notice any change in your body, please meet some of the ushers. The ushers. Altar call. Yeah, just come a bit forward. Come a bit forward so we can see you. Don't go like that. Please come and meet him afterwards and tell him what the Lord has done for you. God bless you. God bless you. Clap your hands and welcome Pastor Boju as he comes up.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.